If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Heartland of this great country, at the crossroads comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard only through conservativenationmedia.com. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budget in the black. You are listening to hour one of the show, and now, here's your host, Robert Garding.
It's really no surprise, people, that President Obama isn't a fan of Congress, and he repeatedly laments that he just can't do things on his own. He laments that, and he also laments that the Constitution keeps getting in his way. In the light of recent negotiations with Russia on Syria, Speaker Boehner is asking why President Obama is willing to negotiate with President Putin, but not Congress. And that's a question that I think a lot of us are asking here. Now, it's good that Boehner is starting to ask these questions, folks, in the light that he has been like the squishy, wobbly card table of Congress, caving to the whims and the wills of Obama and the administration and the left over and over again throughout the last 4 years. But it seems he has finally found his backbone in this standing up to the left, at least for now. In the coming week, Congress and the White House will battle over budgetary issues, government spending, and the debt ceiling. In the speech earlier this week, Obama accused Congress of racking up bills they do not want to pay. Now, my question is on this is, who's racking up these bills? Who has wanted spending to be out of control? Who has told us all that the Constitution is flawed because it doesn't give him enough power, then sidestepping it and going around it and taking the power anyway? Spending like a banshee in heat? Hello, Laura. And yes, dear leader, it has been you, and we the people have been saddled with a Congress that has, until now it seems, allowed this insane spending and destruction of our founding views. Here is Obama willing to be with Putin and not Congress.
What I haven't been willing to negotiate, and I will not negotiate, is on the debt ceiling.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to reiterate, John, the president's very clear he's not going to be negotiating over the debt limit.
Look,
the president's been very clear he's not negotiating on the debt limit.
What I will not do is to have that negotiation.
Let me reiterate what our position is, and it is unequivocal. We will not negotiate with Republicans in Congress.
The Obama administration on working with Putin on Syria.
He will certainly meet with
Putin. I did discuss this with President Putin. This is something that is not new. I've been discussing this with President Putin for some time now.
We're going to work with the Russians.
Mr. Foreign Minister, we are serious, as you are, about engaging in substantive, meaningful negotiations.
Negotiations.
We are prepared to negotiate in good faith, in mutual respect.
Why is the Obama administration willing to negotiate with Putin on Syria, but not with Congress?
The White House, the Congress, have used the debt limit to find bipartisan solutions on the deficit and the debt.
If you go back to the beginning of the Obama run for president, you will find him telling us that we are, quote, days from fundamentally changing America, unquote, and, quote, the Constitution is a flawed document because it limits me, unquote. You remember these? Most probably, most of the people don't, because most people don't listen. And good afternoon, Lady Michelle. But we are now listening, aren't we? Asking, how did we get here? We got here by voting with our senses and not our common sense. By voting because we are afraid that we are going to get called a racist instead of voting for what is right. It's our fault, folks, and it's time to right the ship. You're listening to the new Wise Conservatism radio show, and I had my copy out here to so I could have all of my stuff that I need to talk about today, and I had made an update of it and left it in the house, so I don't have it with me. But I had another audio here, which was something else that was kind of interesting, where Reed actually called Obamacare a stupid tax.
Lots and lots of Democrats in the recent past have voted to repeal the medical device tax. It's unpopular with many of them and with all Republicans. I know that you warned against speculation, but that may well come back here, and lots of Democrats have voted for it. Would all Democrats vote against a repeal of that in this context?
Listen, I know you have been listening, but we want a clean CR. That's what we're going to get. If they want to shut down the government, here's how much time they have to figure it out. 4 days, 11 hours, 22 minutes, and 15 seconds. No, they can play around all they want. Some of the biggest supporters for doing away with the stupid tax, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, doing away with that tax have told me they will not support that on CR.
Now, here's the thing, you know, it seems the Democrats will go after a Republican if he says something dumb and then reiterates and says, no, that wasn't quite right what I meant. The Democrats will always say, oh, yeah, that's what you meant. So first thing you said is what you meant. Well, I'm saying this now. Reed, that was the first thing you said. You meant it. That is what you meant. Don't try and hand us a bunch of bull from your talking points that none of us believe in. America is at a crossroads of our history here, where we the people have stupidly elected officials who care nothing for the laws of the land and are doing everything they can to bypass them while forcing more unconstitutional laws on us. We even have activist judges changing laws from the bench, which is not the way it was meant to be, and that's not the way what their job is. But don't tell them that. Obama bemoaned the fact that the Constitution limited what he could do to the people. He said this, people, and we still elected him. Wasn't that the reason the Constitution was written the way it was, people? That is one of the things that makes this country this such a great and desired country to be in. So why are we allowing the government officials in Washington to change those laws so they fit their way of seeing things? So far, all I can say is it is our fault for voting people into office through anger at another person in office or because of the color of their skin. If we really wanted a black president, folks, we could have elected one that would have honored the Constitution and the laws of the land, and that person was Alan West. But no, we had to elect a community organizer whose past accomplishments included people like Bill Ayers, who tutored Obama in his younger years. Ayers is nothing more than a domestic terrorist who hates America and has proved that by blowing up buildings in Washington, D.C. And just like Obama's father, who hates America too, you get raised into adulthood following people like this who hate America, and you will be just like them. Obama's every action since becoming president has been a slap in the face of every American citizen, and yes, even the ones that supported him in his campaigns, which, by the way, are still ongoing, even though he can't run again, according to the Constitution. So why did we stupidly re-elect him for his second term? Maybe it was because we didn't want to admit to ourselves that we could be so stupid as to elect a wannabe communist to the office of president. I think that is probably a good portion of the reason for most of the people who voted for him. But the other reason is that because the people that support Obama are basically lazy people who have found the gravy train in him, knowing that if they don't work, they will still get paid a living by him. And with the roles of the people on food stamps since Obama became president, this is a good indicator that that kind of thinking is what's going on. food stamp recipients have flooded, have become a floodgate of outgoing money. Welfare for the poor, which now includes about people that about 50 years ago were considered well-off, and the number there is growing exponentially. So who is paying for all this welfare and food stamps, folks? If you have a job, you are. If you buy things, you are. If you eat food that you don't grow yourself, you are. And even if you grow the food, you probably buy the seeds to plant them, so you still are. If you drive a car and buy gas for it, you are. If you have any money in your wallet, because you, unless you're a criminal and you steal it, you are. Even then, it makes the rest of us pay for it. With the increased police presence that we all want in our cities to make them safer, I think that we have all fallen asleep at the switch, and the switch needed to be shut off many, many decades ago, but all we have done is to open the floodgates to this insane spending, all in a way to get your fingers and arms around what government is doing to us, folks. If you take that money that they spend yearly, and instead of spending it like they do, give it equally to every man, woman, and child in our nation, we would be a nation of millionaires. Everyone would be one, practically. Imagine a nation of 300 million millionaires. Who would need crime? Everyone would have everything they needed. Who would need the police? Everyone would have everything they wanted, so there would be little crime. And, of course, the crime would be there because of people who would decide, well, I'm a millionaire, but I want more, so I'll go out and take it. No one would have to worry about where the next meal would be coming from because we could all buy it. No one would have to worry about cars breaking down. If it got old enough to break down, then we could buy a new one. And if people continued to work, they would become self-sustaining. Government would not be needed except for what this government was originally meant for, and the insanity would stop. Taxes would supply the government, and most likely a fair tax would be instituted so everyone would pay the same percentage to the government, and the government would have all that it needed to function as the government was meant to be, not the monstrosity that we have going now. Now, this won't happen, folks, but this kind of it is kind of fun to think of it and try to figure out that America as a nation of millionaires who could dictate what government is because they can afford to do so, what they need to do to survive. The free market would work because people could buy things that they needed. New homes would be built because people would want to live in nice places. Now, granted, there would be people out there like Obama who would go crazy with their newfound wealth, but I think that a good portion of the population would do what they needed to keep their families safe and financially solvent, don't you? But we now have a government that takes all that money and wants more all the time and gives billions to our enemies without so much of an apology to the American people or an explanation as to why our hard-earned money is going to people in the world who want nothing but to get rid of America. To me, folks, that is total insanity, and we have been living that insanity for decades now, and especially the last 5 years under Comrade Obama. If it was up to him, this country would be called Obamaland, and Washington would be renamed Obamaville. He has, after all, succeeded in changing the name of our medical profession to Obamacare, hasn't he? Taxes would be called Obamatax. Illegals would be called Obama's people, and the ones of us who do not support him would be called the enemy. Well, hell, they already are. Hey, that is happening already. And I am an infidel and a terrorist because of my beliefs of what the country should be like. How about you? I know that most of us are too. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And that little monologue kind of went a little bit long, but I will tell part of another story here. The nightmare that has been Benghazi continued last week as 15 Democrats added further salt to the still open and raw wounds by getting up and walking out of the Benghazi hearings just as testimony was about to be given by Sean Smith's mother and Tyrone Woods' father, an insult like never before seen, at least not in my memory, was done as these 15 Democrats defamed and dishonored not only those lost in Benghazi, but also dishonored the American people as well, for they showed us that they were nothing but cold-hearted politician grandstanders who did Obama's bidding. And no, this was not decided as a spur-of-the-moment action, but was well planned out in advance. It always is, folks. The Democrats are always that way. We will be right back after these messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show, and the call-in number for you listeners out there is 718-305-7176.
Peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Benghazi, going back to this other story, it was the story I started to read you before the break was from LadyPatriots.com, and it was entitled A Circle of Insults and Lies to America, Our Troops, and to We the People. It went on to say, Benghazi has become a reoccurring nightmare that America cannot wake up from, as the truth about what happened that fateful night must be kept hidden in a circle of lies at all costs for fear the truth might bring this miserable president and his equally miserable administration down, as well it should. But when elected officials do not even have the decency to listen to the words of the families of those who deliberately and with malice left behind to die, it shows just how low this administration and the Democrats have sunk. And I keep looking at this and I think they can't sink any lower, but I remember thinking the same darn thing a few years ago when I was out of work for a long time, couldn't find work, and I kept saying to myself, it can't get much worse, and it always did. So what I'm actually looking at right now is it just shows how far this administration and the Democrats have sunk. They have sunk to a new level. But let's see if they can find a new lower level, which they probably will. Benghazi was a part of the war on terror, whether Barack Hussein Obama cares to believe it or not, for Benghazi was and still is all about this president aiding and abetting the enemy. Grounds for treason, as per our Constitution, which is probably one of the reasons why he hates the Constitution. Okay, we got to keep this in mind now, that this president that we have hates this Constitution. But while Obama's loyal minions continue to circle the wagons around him as they try to paint him as a loyal American, just doing the job he was elected to do, we the people can see the myth of a media manufactured anointed one starting to unravel, and not just because of Benghazi. Aiding and abetting the enemy comes in many guises, some in your face obvious and some stealthily executed, and Barack Hussein Obama has done both, but setting himself above our rule of law to aid his Muslim brethren is something that must not go unpunished, for Obama has, with cruel, deliberate intentions, waived a provision of federal law that prevents supplying guns and weapons to terrorist groups. Terrorist groups like the Free Syrian Army, Jabhat al-Nusra, a radical Salafist faction of the Free Syrian Army, who our government declared a terrorist entity in December of 2012. And they are fighting Bashar al-Assad in Syria, the Free Syrian Army. And the Jabhat al-Nusra, who are slaughtering Christians, beheading opponents, and gassing civilians, the Free Syrian Army, and Jabhat al-Nusra, boy, I hate these words, who Obama claims are really freedom fighters, yet who are anything but, have us both as both have sworn loyalty and allegiance to al-Qaeda. This is who Barack Hussein Obama is using our taxpayer dollars to send guns and weapons to, folks. And we have to look at this kind of thing. Most people just think, he's our president, he won't do anything like this, but he's been doing it since day one of his presidency. Aiding and abetting the enemy with our taxpayer dollars, just like he did when he supplied guns and weapons, Abrams tanks, and F-16 fighter jets to the Muslim Brotherhood puppet president Mohamed Morsi in Egypt, citing his authority under the Arms Export Control Act, or the AECA, Obama is ignoring the prohibitions in the sections 40 and 40A of the Act related to such transaction that prohibits his sending guns and weapons to countries described in section 40D. And 40D says the prohibitions contained in this section apply with respect to a country if the Secretary of State determines that the government of that country has repeatedly provided support for acts of international terrorism. We see the problem right there, Secretary of State. He's another liberal idiot. And worse yet, this law allows Obama to waive those prohibitions if he determines that the transaction is essential to the national security interests of the United States. Well, being essential to the national security interests of the United States, I think, just doesn't interest him at all. And while Syria is indeed a hotbed of terrorism and has been for many years, Syria poses no threat to the national security of the United States. Yet Obama is sending them guns and weapons with our taxpayer dollars, guns and weapons that will be given to the so-called rebels without any background checks or registration that Obama says are necessary for we the people here in America. Sending terrorists guns and weapons like he did with the Mexican drug cartels, as in Fast and Furious, and we all know how that turned out. So, hard telling what we've got coming now. And that's what's so sad about all this, that it is in addition to callously and maliciously emboldening our enemies, is that by his very actions, Obama is knowingly and willingly dishonoring all our troops who fought and died in the war on terror. And that war has been going for a while now, and we've lost 6,727 brave American men, women, who have given their lives so enjoy the freedoms of our great nation and the ones that it affords us. But it's also a war that started on September. Well, actually, it didn't start on September 11, 2001, but it was brought to us on that day when 3,000 Americans were murdered in the worst act of terrorism ever perpetrated on American soil by the very same group of Muslim terrorists. Yes, Muslim terrorists, and that is that this man is now supporting and funding with our taxpayer dollars. Now, doesn't this make you mad? I know it makes me mad. I work hard for my money. I don't want to go into some terrorist on the other side of the world who wants nothing but to kill me because I'm an American. We have to start thinking about these kind of things, folks. It's insane. We have... It's getting to the point where we are losing track of what reality really is. The pace of violent attacks in parts of Iraq outside of the three-province Kurdish region has spiked sharply since security forces carried out a deadly crackdown on Sunni protest camp in northern Iraq in April. Iraq's minority Sunni Arabs have been protesting against Shiite-led government since late last year, alleging discrimination and criticizing the application of tough anti-terrorism measures against their sect. More than 4,000 people have been killed in violent attacks between April and August, and the United Nations figures show. Another 489 have died so far in September, according to an Associated Press tally. We are losing, you know, these people may not be Americans that are dying, but they are fighting people who hate Americans just because we're Americans. And to me, it's insane that we continue to ignore this fact like it doesn't exist. And the people who listen to this show, for the most part, I would say understand this and think about it daily. I know I myself right now am just scared to death as to what the 1st of October is going to bring me because of Obamacare. This whole country has gone insane because of its leadership, and the whole world is laughing at us. We cannot continue to do this. We cannot continue to be a nation that is being laughed at by everybody else in the world, because if we do, America ceases to exist as a viable country that can shape any kind of details in world matters, including our own, if we continue going down this road that Obama has got us on. And before Obama, it was the left and most of the Republicans before they started waking up and decide, hey, now wait a minute, what the heck is going on here? We still have a few. Actually, we got more than a few. John McCain is one of them. He's such an idiot that I was just almost overjoyed to the point of tears when I heard a week or so ago that he was thinking that this might be his final term. I hope to God it is. We do not need anybody like that, and I have Michael on the phone. Good afternoon,
Robert,
Michael.
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, I'm having fun today. They've
okay,
given me
well,
so
I've
much
got
to talk
I've got
about.
I've got a very special treat for you. I hope you've got a great crowd. Look, I'm at the Defending the Constitution event here in Tarrant County. Right now, up at the podium, is Pastor Stephen Brodin. And I don't know if your listeners know who Stephen Brodin is. He was a central character in Runaway Slave with C.L. Bryant, K. Carl Smith, and many other folks when that came out. If you'd like, I would like to walk in there, put my phone on speaker, and give you a few minutes of listening to this man electrify the crowd.
That would be absolutely wonderful, but I'm up against a hard break right here. Could you hold on for a few minutes? And
you take the hard break. I'm going to walk in and get myself seated. I'm just going to put the speaker on, so when you come back out of that, you're going to hear this, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
All right.
Okay, one of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay, on the phone, now we have Michael, who is at the Constitution meeting, and he said that he would set up the microphone for us so we could hear the speaker that's there. And
all right, you guys there? For Stephen.
Yes, Brogan. We are.
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. He's going to town on liberty right now. Listen in, folks.
Pornography and all kinds of stuff that is impacting the fabric of this nation. And we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. But he goes on to say this: offsprings of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. The generation that's under us don't want to hear what we have to say. Because they believe that the PC doctrine of a human secularist who believes that Christianity has no place to play in the public square, which is a denial of the scriptures. The Bible says that you and I are salt and light agents of the kingdom of God. And we are the prophetic voice in the public. that happens right now. Listen to me. The sons who had corrupted. Didn't he give us three reasons or three demonstrations of the reality of a nation that has turned its back on God? I want you to hear me on this. He said they have abandoned the Lord. The first thing that they've done is they have abandoned the Lord. They have rejected God. The separation of church and state, which is a doctrine and idea that is from the pit of hell.
Amen.
And it is responsible for the kind of moral harass and decadence that we're witnessing in our hearts today. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy Word of Israel. There is a kind of hatred on the part of human secularists against Christianity in America today. And they are targeting us with venom and hate. They want to destroy and marginalize our Lord.
Hang tight, Robert. We'll get to these last 2 points and I'll come back to
you. Our government has turned on us. And don't you know that we are in the crosshairs of this administration right now? This whole thing with Obamacare is forcing Christians to support contraception and sterilization. Nobody says anything about that word. But you know that inside Obamacare is sterilization, that they're giving a woman a right to be sterilized.
Are you hearing it,
and by the way, for poor women in particular,
you hearing it?
Yes.
Robert?
It's a little hard to understand, but I can hear him.
That is Pastor. I've walked out now so I can chat with you just for a few minutes before I get back to this event. That is Pastor Stephen Broden.
He is, if anyone who's watched Runaway Slave, and I had the honor, I know Pastor Broden, I had the honor to get to chat with him and have a little fellowship with him this afternoon and pray for our country. Our country is under attack from the left, the perfidious socialist atheists, these stupid atheists that are out to destroy our country, and that's what he's talking about today. I've been here with Senator Paxton, who's running for our attorney general. I'm out here stumping for Senator Dan Patrick, who's running for our lieutenant governor. Folks, you may not realize it, but even Texas is under attack. Texas is under attack from this administration. It's called Battleground Texas, and we're fighting here. And as goes Texas, so goes this country, Robert. I want to thank you for giving me a few minutes to come on and getting to let y'all listen to Pastor Broden live. This is a great event defending the Constitution we're having here in Tarrant County, and to be able to share it on our network with your show today is an honor, and I would suggest everybody tune in tomorrow on Soldier of Patriotism from 3 to 5 Central, right here on Conservative Nation Media, immediately followed by Uncle Bean Fisher with American by Design. I'll be talking tomorrow about today's events and going over some things that have happened this week, Robert, and I hope everything's going well for you, but unless you or a caller has a question for me, I need to get back in here.
Well, I don't have any callers, but I got a couple of people in the chat room, and it doesn't. Lady Michelle, who's in there, asked if Pastor Broden is a black guy, and I think he is.
Yes, he is. And tell Lady Michelle that I got a return package that I tried to send her a month ago, but I have a package for her that was returned. I mailed it to the address I have, but yes, Pastor Broden is a black American conservative.
Okay. She said she thought that it might have been Herman Cain or Alan West, and those were the only two I could think of when I was trying to figure out who it was, and my mind was blank.
Anybody that's watched Runaways, tell Lady Michelle and your callers, drop the link in there. Y'all need, it's on Netflix. It's Runaway Slave, which was a documentary from Pastor C.L. Bryant, who's also from my neck of the woods, former NAACP president that understood what these leftist atheists were trying to do to our country, and left the left came to the right. And he's a Tea Party leader, Stephen Broden, Thomas Sowell, K. Carl Smith, Herman Cain, all of these gentlemen. Now, they're not all here today, but Stephen Broden is, and he is a man worth listening to and following and reading up and knowing a little something about.
At C.L. Bryant that you mentioned, he was here in Indianapolis about a year ago in a tea party we had, and I got to listen to him speak. He's another one of these dynamic speakers that are just amazing to listen to.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, listen, I need to go. I need to get back in here. I'm going to be up to speak here before too long on behalf of Senator Patrick. So thank you very much for a little bit of time. I hope your audience enjoyed this little live shot of my little small neck of the woods.
Well, thank you for doing that for us. That was really neat. I hope it sounds a little better than it did through my little earpiece. So I'll come back and listen to the show one.
Maybe Lady Michelle can. Apparently Lady Michelle was hearing it. So if she was, I know everybody was. Hey, listen, love you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow, all right?
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Michael.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA, and as I hope it is in all of ours. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, and American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And this thing that's going on down with Michael and Michelle said thank you to him, and I knew he was going to be calling. I didn't expect him to call this hour. I thought he was going to call next hour, but you know, I'm glad he did, because it shows that what is going on in this nation is that the people are starting to wake up and starting to come to rallies like this, and it's fun to watch these things, because usually in a rally like this, it's standing room only, and then Obama goes and has a rally, and they have to fly people in and bring people in, pay them to come and see him, and there are still many, many empty seats all over the place. And to me, this is something I was watching before this election that re-elected Obama. I was seeing things like this, thinking there is no way he's going to get elected again. And the only thing I can think of is that it had to be some kind of voter fraud or something, because the people were not going to his rallies. They were not going to his events. They were not going to his parties and things, but they were flocking by the thousands to tea parties and to other things, which made it really strange to me that he got reelected. I did not understand this at all, but that's just the way it is, I guess, here in America.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work, walk the dog, have the dog walk you, take a hike, take a bike, skate, dance, hop, jump, do the Humpty Humps, skip seconds, skip dessert, skip, skip, skip to Maloo, don't skip breakfast, drink H2O, lower your sodium, raise the roof, shake your booty, stock up on vegetables, and don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Okay.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work.
I just played that one twice.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree. Is the moment I knew that for him?
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Senator Ted Cruz's filibuster this week wound down, and while the leftist outlets and sadly some Republicans spewed forth their vitriol, I couldn't help but think that moments like this and Senator Rand Paul's Stand with Rand filibuster represent key turning points for the conservative movement. I'm far less interested in the Washington inside baseball of who's mad at whom, and far more interested in the effect of passionately demonstrated conservative conviction on our culture. We have one of those going with Michael right now. The left has long understood the raw cultural power of conviction, how many of our key institutions have been transformed through the sheer force of will expressed by a passionate minority, mostly Democrat, of course. Republicans, even when they're in the majority, don't get too much. People with conviction dictate the terms of debate, transform the decision-making paradigm of even the largest entities, and lay the groundwork for larger cultural transformation. This work is rarely, if ever, done with majority support, but instead of at the urging of the most committed, most dedicated, and most vocal. And Ted Cruz has been one of our blessings, and he hasn't been in disguise. He's been right out there, just like in your face to the Democrats, and hasn't cared what they say of him. And even some of the Republicans have, like John McCain has said, he effing hates him, which, you know, I don't understand that kind of thinking from a Republican. So my thinking now is that John McCain is no Republican. He should take that R from beside his name and put a D there, or a DD, which stands for damn Democrat. He is no Republican in my eyes, and neither is Lindsey Graham. But the conservative pushback against our cultural drift was bound to be messy, and of course, since we're all imperfect people, sometimes mistake-prone. Legitimate disagreements about tactics can needlessly escalate into destructive infighting. Some self-described true conservatives have more passion than common sense, and there are always opportunists lurking around any new political movement. But I'm not sure the D.C. community is fully aware of the extent of the change in millions of conservatives, especially in the red states. While the political press obsesses over the battles inside the Beltway, conservatives are asserting themselves in ways large and small, exactly as the left has done for years, at work, at school, in civic organizations that shape our lives, like the rally going on where Michael is, and we'll be hearing some more of that tomorrow on his show, Soldier of Patriotism, and that's going to be interesting to listen to. But it's not an immutable law. That's not an immutable law of nature. Changes can occur when a movement transforms itself from essentially managing our national decline on the constant defensive to rebuilding a culture from the ground up. Strains are inevitable, and the strains can be immense. At the risk of intruding on Jonah's turf, I'm reminded of Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, one of the better of the old school Star Trek movies. Captain Sulu, at the helm of the USS Excelsior, sends his ship racing to the aid of Kirk and the Enterprise. As he presses his craft to maximum speed, a crew member warns, "She'll fly apart." Sulu barks back, "Fly her apart then." Exactly so. It's past time to push the limits. And that's the way we have to look at this. It's past time to start pushing back. It's past time to start pushing the limits against the envelope that the Democrats have formed for us. We have, for decades, been pushed back into our seats by this envelope of hatred for the freedoms of American people that the liberal left is always pushing on us and forcing on us. We have always sat back and resigned ourselves to the fact that we have to pay more and more taxes to a government that somehow needs more and more of them to survive. And to me, it's amazing, because this government was never meant to be that intrusive on everybody's lives. Yet we have so many people nowadays who are addicted to this intrusion. They want this intrusion so they don't have to work. And I think it was Benjamin Franklin who once said, or one of the guys back then once told us, that America will survive as long as we do not go over 50% of the people taking from the government and not working. Sadly, folks, we're coming close to that 50%. I really am afraid for what America is going to be in 10 years if Obamacare is not shut down. We have really pushed ourselves right to the edge of the cliff, and like lemmings, we're going to go right off that cliff if we don't change the direction that this country is going, and soon. We're actually getting to the point where we're so close to that cliff, we can look down and see the abyss in front of us. And to me, that is not what America was formed to do. And Obama has taken us in the direction that America was not formed to be. It's scary, folks. And we have to change the direction this country is going in. Thankfully, we have people like Ted Cruz and like the pastor who was speaking down in Texas, and C.L. Bryant and Mike Pence and all the other ones out there, Paul Rand and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, who we haven't heard from too much lately. But we do have people out there, and they are fighting for our rights to be Americans, even though people like John McCain says that they're hurting this country in ways that we haven't seen yet. No, the people who are hurting this country in ways we haven't seen yet and have seen are people like you, McCain, and you, Lindsey Graham, and you, Harry Reid, who made the mistake the other day of actually calling Obamacare a stupid tax. And I'll call him on that one any day, because he said what he was thinking. Whether he just immediately backed off of that and says, oh, I shouldn't have said that, he said what he meant. And if we can take a hold of these tiny little moments like that one and start thinking, now wait a minute, if they think this is bad, how can it be good for us? Obamacare is set to start working in our lives day after tomorrow, 29:30, the day after tomorrow. It's getting close, folks. Ted Cruz was fighting on our behalf this week. I watched a good portion of that. I watched a good portion of it on the internet. Had my computer going a good portion of the night that it started. It was fun to watch him. Then I got to watch him recite Green Eggs and Ham in the morning and recite the speech that Rush Limbaugh's father gave, telling what happened to the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, or the Constitution. I'm sorry. But we have to start looking at what's going on. We have to start realizing what's going on, because if we don't, this nation will be done for in a very short time. And if we don't, tough times are coming. We will be right back with the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Conservative Nation Media, where the call-in number, if you want to be on the show, is 305-718-7176. Sorry about that. 305-718-7176. Please stay tuned.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up? Just like that?
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
From the heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Girding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. Take that, Obama. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Girding.
From Dispatch Review comes this one about the wannabe Democrats' insane ideas that being a patriot is akin to terrorism. This one from Representative Peter King, but he has an R after his name, and he is a blithering idiot. And that is giving him some credit for some brains. Here's what he thinks about what Ted Cruz was doing this week. He's, as conservatives continue to be inspired by lion-hearted efforts by U.S. Ted Cruz, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, who spoke from the floor at the Senate for over 20 hours in opposition to funding Obamacare, fellow Republican U.S. Representative Peter King from New York said, quote, he is a fraud. My soundbite is to say he's a fraud, King said on Tuesday while speaking to the New York Times. The old school Republican explained to the Times precisely what he thought of the Cruz tactic, saying it's just a form of governmental terrorism. King said about two-thirds of the Republicans in the House agree with him. Oh, really? A lot of them are intimidated by the Ted Cruz wing, he added. The Ted Cruz wing being the, quote, far right, unquote, according to the political class, or the Tea Party wing, as he labels it, as the left labels it. King said there were robocalls and efforts in districts throughout the country during August against Republicans, telling them why they had to support defunding Obamacare. What do you accomplish? He asked. You build up this mailing list for Cruz and a fundraising list, and you are also going to generate primaries against people who I would consider to be good Republicans, pretty solid conservative Republicans. I don't think King knows what a conservative Republican really is. He is supposedly considering a run for president in 2016, and Cruz would present a formidable opponent should the freshman senator heed the calls from many on the right to enter the race. Let's see, I would vote for King for president if he died yesterday and the election was in 1 million years. No, that isn't even long enough. And if John McCain runs for president again, that would be the worst. He is supposed to be a Republican, but then he goes to the floor in the Senate and trashes Cruz. What a putz. You are listening to the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show here on Conservative Nation Media. We're serious about conservatism and America. You can access us at conservativenationmedia.com, and you can email me at robert@conservativenationmedia.com. Welcome to the show on this fine day of September the 28th. 2013. The number to call in the show is 718-305-7176. And now, on with the second hour. One of the things that Ted Cruz did during his filibuster, and I mentioned this a few minutes ago, that should have really riled the Democrats, was that he read the entire speech that Rush Limbaugh's father wrote called The Americans Who Risk Everything. I myself have read this speech on my show at one time or another, and the reason that it would get the goats of the left is because it tells the story of what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. And it is sad that many in America have forgotten the sacrifices that these men made for our future. Here is some of it. It was a glorious morning. The sun was shining and the wind was up from the southeast, especially early. A tall, bony, red-headed young Virginian found time to buy a new thermometer, for which he paid £3, 15 shillings. He also bought gloves for Martha, his wife, who was ill at home. Thomas Jefferson arrived early in the State House. The temperature was 72 degrees, and the horse flies weren't nearly so bad at that hour. It was a lovely room, very large with gleaming white walls. The chairs were comfortable. Facing the single door were two brass fireplaces, but they would not be used today. The moment the door was shut, it was always kept locked. The room became an oven. The tall windows were shut, so the loud quarreling voices could not be heard by passersby. Small openings atop the windows allowed a slight stir of air and also a large number of horseflies. Jefferson recorded that the horseflies were dexterous in finding the necks, and the silk stockings was nothing to them. All discussing was punctuated by the slap of hands on necks. On the wall of the back at the back facing the president's desk was a panoply, consisting of a drum, swords, and banners seized from Fort Ticonderoga the previous year. Ethan Allen and Benedict Arnold had captured the place, shouting that they were taking it in the name of Great Jehovah and the Continental Congress. Now, Congress got to work promptly taking up an emergency measure about which there was a discussion, but no dissension, resolved that an application be made to the Committee for the Safety of Pennsylvania for the supply of flints for the troops at New York. Then Congress transformed itself into a committee of the whole. The Declaration of Independence was read aloud once more and debate resumed. This went on. He spoke for about an hour, talking about the total of about 86 alterations that were made. Almost 500 words were eliminated, leaving 1,337. At last, after 3 days of wrangling, the document was put to vote. Here in this hall, Patrick Henry had once thundered, "I am no longer a Virginian, sir, but an American." But today, the loud, sometimes bitter arguments stilled without fanfare. The vote was taken from north to south by colonies, as was the custom. On July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted. There were no trumpets blown. No one stood on his chair and cheered. The afternoon was waning, and Congress had no thought of delaying the full calendar of routine business on his hands. For several hours, they worked on many other problems before adjourning for the day. Now, what kind of men were the 56 signers who adopted the Declaration of Independence and who by their signing committed an act of treason against the crown? To each of you, the names Franklin, Adams, Hancock, Jefferson are almost as familiar as household words. But most of us, however, know nothing of the other signers, who they were, what happened to them. I imagine that many of you are somewhat surprised at the names that were not there. George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, Patrick Henry, all were elsewhere. Ben Franklin was the only really old man. 18 were under 40, 3 were in their 20s. Of the 56, almost half, 24 were judges and lawyers, 11 were merchants, 9 were landowners and farmers, and the remaining 12 were doctors, ministers, and politicians. With only a few exceptions, such as Samuel Adams of Massachusetts, these were men of substantial property. All but 2 had families. The vast majority were men of education standing in their communities. They had economic security as few men had in the 18th century. Each had more to lose from revolution than he had to gain by it. John Hancock, one of the richest men in America, already had a price of £500 on his head. He signed in enormous letters so that His Majesty would now read his name without glasses and could now double the reward. Ben Franklin wryly noted, "Indeed, we all must hang together, otherwise we shall most assuredly hang separately." These men knew what they risked. The penalty for treason was death by hanging, and remember, a great British fleet was already at anchor in New York Harbor. They were sober men. There were no dreamy-eyed intellectuals or draft card burners here. They were far from hot-eyed fanatics yammering for an explosion. They simply asked for the status quo. It was the change they resisted. It was equality with the mother country they desired. It was taxation with representation they sought. They were all conservatives, yet they rebelled. It was principle, not property, that had brought these men to Philadelphia. 2 of them became presidents of the United States. 7 of them became state governors. 1 died in office as vice president of the United States. Several would go on to be U.S. senators. 1, the richest man in America in 1828, founded the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. 1, a delegate from Philadelphia, was the only real poet, musician, and philosopher of the signers. It was he, Francis Hopkinson, not Betsy Ross, who designed the United States flag. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Now, going on with this, Richard Henry Lee, a delegate from Virginia, had introduced a resolution to adopt the Declaration of Independence in June of 1776. He was prophetic in his concluding remarks. "Why then, sir," this is a quote, "why then, sir, why do we longer delay? Why still deliberate? Let this happy day give birth to an American republic. Let her arise, not devastate and conquer, but to reestablish the reign of peace and law. The eyes of Europe are fixed upon us. She demands of us a living example of freedom that may exhibit a contrast in the felicity of the citizen to the ever-increasing tyranny which desolates her polluted shores. She invites us to prepare an asylum where the unhappy may find solace and the persecuted repose. If we are not this day wanting in our duty, the names of the American legislatures of 1776 will be placed by prosperity on the side of all those whose memory has been and ever will be dear to virtuous men and good citizens, unquote. Though the resolution was formally adopted July 4th, it was not until July 8th that two of the states authorized their delegates to sign, and it was not until August 2nd that the signers met at Philadelphia to actually put their names to the declaration. William Ellery, delegate from Rhode Island, was curious to see the signers' faces as they committed this supreme act of personal courage. He saw some men sign quickly, but no face was he able to discern real fear. Stephen Hopkins, Ellery's colleague from Rhode Island, was a man past 60. He signed with a shaking pen and declared, "My hand trembles, but my heart does not. Most glorious service." Even before the list was published, the British marked down every member of Congress suspected of having put his name to treason, and all of them became objects of vicious manhunts. Some were taken, some, like Jefferson, had narrow escapes. All who had property or families near British strongholds suffered. We will be right back.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Laura, the name of Michael Schodemahl is Soldier of Patriotism. It used to be with Jane Fisher before he went to his own show that follows it, but it's Soldier of Patriotism. Following back on what I was talking about what happened to the people that signed the Declaration of Independence, Francis Lewis, New York delegate, saw his home plundered. Some of his estates in what is now Harlem, completely destroyed by British soldiers. Mrs. Lewis was captured and treated with great brutality, though she was later exchanged for two British prisoners through efforts of Congress. She died from the effects of her abuse. William Floyd, another New York delegate, was able to escape with his wife and children across Long Island Sound to Connecticut, where they lived as refugees without income for 7 years. When they came home, they found a devastated ruin. Philip Livingstone had all of his great holdings in New York confiscated and his family driven out of their home. Livingstone died in 1778, still working in Congress for the cause. Lewis Morris, a fourth New York delegate, saw all his timber crops and livestock taken. For 7 years, he was barred from his own home and his family. John Hart of Trenton, New Jersey, risked his life to return home to see his dying wife. Hessian soldiers rode after him, and he escaped in the woods. While his wife lay on her deathbed, the soldiers ruined his farm and wrecked his homestead. Hart, 65, slept in caves and woods as he was hunted across the countryside. When at long last, emaciated by hardship, he was able to sneak home, he found his wife had already been buried and his 13 children taken away. He never saw them again. He died a broken man in 1779 without ever finding his family. Dr. John Witherspoon Siner was president of College of New Jersey, later called Princeton. The British occupied the town of Princeton, billeted troops in the college. They trampled and burned the finest college library in the country. Judge Richard Stockton, another New Jersey delegate signer, had rushed back to his estate in an effort to evacuate his wife and children. The family found refuge with friends, but a Tory sympathizer betrayed them. Judge Stockton was pulled from bed in the night and brutally beaten by arresting soldiers. Thrown into a common jail, he was deliberately starved. Congress finally arranged for Stockton's parole, but his health was ruined. The judge was released as an invalid, and he could no longer harm the British cause. He returned home to find his estate looted and did not live to see the triumph of the Revolution. His family was forced to live off a charity. Now, you got to remember, all these people were rich in their day. Robert Morris, a merchant prince of Philadelphia, delegate and signer, met Washington's appeals and pleas for money year after year. He made and raised arms and provisions which made it possible for Washington to cross the Delaware at Trenton. In the process, he lost 150 ships at sea, bleeding his own fortune and credit almost dry. George Clymer, Pennsylvania signer, escaped with his family from their home, but their property was completely destroyed by the British in the Germantown and Brandywine campaigns. Dr. Benjamin Rush, also from Pennsylvania, was forced to flee to Maryland. As a heroic surgeon with the Army, Rush had several narrow escapes. John Martin, a Tory in his views previous to the debate, lived in a strongly loyalist area of Pennsylvania. When he came out for the independence, most of his neighbors and even some of his relatives ostracized him. He was a sensitive and troubled man, and many believed his actions killed him. When he died in 1777, his last words to his tormentors were, "Tell them that they will live to see the hour when they shall acknowledge it," the signing, "to have been the most glorious service that I have ever rendered to my country." William Ellery, Rhode Island delegate, saw his property and home burned to the ground. Thomas Lynch, Jr., South Carolina delegate, had his health broken from privation and exposures while serving as a company commander in the military. His doctors ordered him to seek a cure in the West Indies, and on his voyage, he and his young bride were drowned at sea. Edward Rutledge, Arthur Middletown, and Thomas Hayward, Jr., the other three South Carolina signers, were taken by the British in the siege of Charleston. They were carried as prisoners of war to St. Augustine, Florida, where they were singled out for indignities. They were exchanged at the end of war, and the British, in the meantime, having completely devastated their large landholdings and estates. Thomas Nelson, signer of the Virginia, was at the front in command of the Virginia military forces with British General Charles Cornwallis in New Yorktown. Fire from 70 heavy American guns began to destroy Yorktown piece by piece. Lord Cornwallis and his staff moved their headquarters into Nelson's palatial home. While the American cannonballs were making a shambles of the town, the house of Governor Nelson remained untouched. Nelson returned in rage to the American gunners and asked, "Why did you spare my home?" They replied to "Sir, out of respect to you." Nelson cried, "Give me the cannon," and fired on his magnificent home himself, smashing it to bits. But Nelson's sacrifice was not quite over. He had raised $2 million for the revolutionary cause by pledging his own estates. When the loans came due, a newer peacetime Congress refused to honor them, and Nelson's property was forfeited. He was never reimbursed. He died impoverished a few years later at the age of 50. Lives, fortune, and honor. Of those 56 who signed the Declaration of Independence, nine died of wounds or hardships during the war. Five were captured and imprisoned, in each case with brutal treatment. Several lost wives, sons, or entire families. One lost his 13 children. Two wives were brutally treated. All were at one time or another the victims of manhunts and driven from their homes. 12 signers had their homes completely burned. 17 lost everything they owned, yet not one defected or went back on his pledged word. Their honor and the nation they sacrificed so much to create was still intact. And finally, there is the New Jersey signer, Abraham Clark. He gave two sons to the officer corps in the Revolutionary Army. They were captured and sent to that infamous prison, British prison hulk, afloat in New York Harbor, known as the Hell Ship Jersey, where 11,000 American captives were to die. The younger Clarks were treated with special brutality because of their father. One was put in solitary and given no food. With the end almost in sight, with the war almost won, no one could have blamed Abraham Clark for acceding to the British request that they offered him his sons' lives if he would recant and come out for the king and the parliament. The utter despair in this man's heart and anguish in his very soul must reach out to each one of us down through 200 years with his answer, no. The 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence proved by their every deed that they made no idle boast, that they composed the most magnificent curtain line in history, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Folks, this is something we have to remember. Our forefathers fought and many died for the freedoms that we are just allowing our government to just blithely take away. We cannot keep this continuing, because if we do, all of these sacrifices by the founders and by every man, woman, and child, who has died in wars since the beginning of America will be for naught. And it just hurts me to the core to know that we are allowing their sacrifice to be put to nothing. My wife came in a few minutes ago and handed me a bright red Cajun bell pepper from our garden that I had planted earlier this year. It's going to make some good salsa later on when I get to cut it up and have my wife make it for us. I'm a big fan of medium to hot salsa, and when I can grow the peppers that go on and go into it, it makes it that much better. And I know that I'm going to be enjoying some of it after the show, because I'm going to go in and pull out the chips and start eating some of the stuff that's already done. Michelle was talking in the chat room that joining host Michael B. from 3 to 5 Central Time, that's 4 to 6, Eastern, for the roundtable discussion of the events of last week, and Obamacare will be the main topic of discussion. American by Design with Uncle Bing Fisher will follow that at 6 to 8, which should be 4 hours of some really good shows, I think. We will be right back after these important messages. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to these essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner and join the conservative revolution where America always wins. And yes, they do.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes, so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
I read that whole speech here, and I know that it would help the patriots of this country to realize just what we are up against now and the sacrifices that we are letting go to hell if we continue letting Obama and the left run this country into the toilet, a plan that Obama and the left have been working on to give us almost for the whole of the 20th century, and now that the 21st century is here, they have gone into overdrive. The overdrive of American destruction. The sacrifices of the American public is not over. As a matter of fact, it's probably just barely beginning. Obama is making sure of that by calling every American patriot terrorists. Are we going to continue to allow this kind of talk from our own government when they are talking about people who they are supposed to be working for? According to some of them, mostly from the Democrat Party, but some from the Republican Party, like McCain, King, and Graham, America does not deserve to exist, so why do we keep reelecting them to office? This is a question that I keep getting asked by a lot of people around me, and I also ask it too. Are the American people so stupid or lazy that they can't figure out who is good for this nation and then elect them? If we had listened to Obama before he became president, we would have known what was coming. But no one listened when he told us, "We are days from fundamentally changing America." And of course, no one asked, what did he mean by that? Liberalism. You have to work really hard to be that stupid. It seems that laziness and unwillingness to check someone out, if there is the remotest possibility of being called racist, is so prevalent here in America these days. Why are we becoming so damn lazy, folks? Are we that lazy because we are addicted to getting government handouts? Are we that lazy because we do not want to stop getting them? Are we that lazy because we don't stop to realize that all that money the government is paying out to us comes from us in the first place? Most of us just sit back and say nothing when we see the Republicans in the form of Senator Ted Cruz working his heart out, working for us to get us out from under the coming explosion of taxes that is going to hit us when Obamacare takes place in just a few days on October 1st. No one says anything when Harry Reid goes against the majority of the American people and tells Ted Cruz that he is wasting his time. Obamacare will never, never be defunded. And the only way to fund the government from the coming shutdown is to fund Obamacare. Nothing else will be considered. And yet they are the ones, when out of power or when on the losing side of an argument, want bipartisanship. They want to be part of it. But when they've got the power and they've got the way to destroy and to hurt us, bipartisanship is not what they want. They don't want any part of it. And I hope we remember this when they end up not in power again and they start hitting us with this, oh, well, we want to be bipartisan. We want to be part of this too. I hope somebody comes up and tells them, we don't want you part of this. It is because of you that we are in the mess that we're in now. We need you out of it so we can take care of it and get us back on track. And I say, shut the damn government down. The essential things will still be going. But maybe we will have a respite from hearing from idiots like Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, who have shown that they do not have America's best interests at heart, only Obama's. It doesn't matter that Obamacare will destroy the financial fabric of America, just that they push that monstrosity on us while figuring out a way to keep themselves out from under its weight. You notice they have done that, don't you? I just am totally amazed that the American people haven't started questioning that one. I mean, don't get me wrong, I know that the American people are questioning. You listen to a conservative rally like the one that Michael B. is at, or the Tea Parties all around this nation, and you will hear that very thing. But we have so many people in this nation that are so afraid that if they suddenly lose the benefits that the government is giving them, who cares who pays for it, just as long as they get it. They don't seem to realize that that is what is destroying this nation. We cannot continue to pay out like that. I wish I could use the word that here that I feel for their idiocy, but I can't. So my friends, the only way out from under this mess is that we have found ourselves in is to elect new people in the positions like Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and John McCain and Lindsey Graham are in. Get rid of the ones who do not wish to follow the Constitution and this country will survive. Keep electing them and it won't. Mark my words here, mark my words. The financial weight of Obamacare is going to break the back of this nation, and I think that is what the left in Washington wants. They can't seem to realize that the prosperity they enjoy in their own lives is only America, only available through America, and the freedoms that America gives to Americans so they can strive to be the best that they can be and strive to be the best that they can possibly ever be in their lives. But the Democrats won't tell you that. Oh, hell no. America's bad. America's bad. No, it doesn't matter that they're only in the positions they're in because of America, you know, the country that they are actively working on to destroy. And it seems that nobody will ask this question. And it bothers the hell out of me. I sit there and I hear some politician from the left talk about how he wants to make sure that Obamacare is funded so that we can have free health care. Folks, how many times have we been told nothing in this life is free? Somebody has to pay for it. And that somebody is you and me and everybody in America who works for a living. It's too bad that we can't just all become self-employed so we can get our own money and not have the money taken out for the government already by the companies we work for. If we could all do that, the governments would suddenly have no money. And guess who would have it all? America would thrive then, but the one that would die would be the American government as it is formed today. And that actually is kind of an appealing thought to me. Because this government is doing things nowadays that it was never formed to do. This government was formed to get rid of big government, something the Democrats and the liberals and the liberal Republicans like John McCain have worked almost all their lives to get. And of course, they're trying to keep God out of our lives too, so that he can't help us by answering our prayers to save this nation, or help us to be able to figure out a way to save this nation. But I tell you, we know the way. Elect new people in Washington. Get the Democrats and the left out of there, and the Republicans who will not follow the Constitution out of there. There comes a time when good things have to give away to great things. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing like a Texas Longhorn, which is why Michael B. Smith now has his own show. Check out Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays, that's tomorrow, at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. But don't be worried. He's the same Michael B. you've come to know and love, and you'll hear more great interviews and awesome conservative commentary from our very own main man, Michael B. Smith, on Soldier of Patriotism, tomorrow, Sunday, at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And remember, tomorrow he's going to have recordings of what happened today, where he's at that Defend the Constitution rally. And that ought to be a really good show. From the U.S. Constitutional Free Press comes this one. There are 25 Senate cave-in rhinos who voted to allow Harry Reid and the Democrats to fund Obamacare. Those that voted with Harry Reid are not much of a surprise. Surprisingly, a potential young rising star within the Republican Party, Kelly Ayotte, A-Y-O-T-T-E, and I never knew how to really pronounce his name, out of New Haven, will likely be seen next on a carton of milk. Here are the 25 Senate Republicans who voted to allow Harry Reid and the Democrats to fund Obamacare yesterday. Lamar Alexander, Tennessee, of course, and I know several people who are associated with Conservative Nation Media who are actively working to get this man out of office, and rightly so. John Cornyn, Republican of Texas. Kelly Ayotte, which I just got through mentioning, Republican of New Hampshire. Lindsey Graham, no freaking surprise here, he is an absolute moron. John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming. John Hoeven, I guess is his name, H-O-E-V-E-N, Republican of North Dakota. Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri. Johnny Isakson, Republican of Georgia. John Boozman, Republican of Arkansas. Mike Johans, Republican in Nebraska. Richard Burr, Republican in North Carolina. Ron Johnson, a Republican of Wisconsin, Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia, Mark Kirk, Republican of Illinois, John Chiesa, C-H-I-E-S-A, Republican in New Jersey, John McCain, no surprise here, from Arizona either. This man would do everything a service by retiring or joining the Democrats, like I'd said earlier. Dan Coats, a Republican of Indiana. This one shamed me because usually he is decent, and I voted for him, so he's never going to get my vote again. Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky. Sad. Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma. Really sad. Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Arkansas. Thad Cochran, Republican of Mississippi. John Thune, Republican of South Dakota. Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, I guess, M-E. Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi. And Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee. Shame on all of you turncoats who have nothing on your plate but to help the Democrats destroy this nation. I hope every one of you gets ousted from office in the next election. Actually, that won't be soon enough for me and many who are listening to me now. All I can say is your time is coming. We will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show here on Blog Talk Radio through the new and revamped Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't because we are growing by leaps and bounds. The call-in number is 718-305-7176.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE. To talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Getting your child home safely.
Tap your heels together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There's no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travel.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood of the Stones for Rad. You know it's okay to rock and roll and party, because I do it all the time. Just let someone else do the driving. That's what I do. Remember, rock lives, and you should too. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
On CNN, a thing that a lot of us probably didn't see because we do not watch that channel, came this one with Mark Levin as he excoriated Obama and explained what a French Republican is. And this one is good. CNN's Tapper, Jake Tapper, hosted conservative radio show host Mark Levin for a lengthy interview on Friday's The Lead. Levin touched on President Obama's foreign policy, Obamacare, and what happens in a government shutdown, and he previewed his forthcoming book, The Liberty Amendments. Levin skewered President Obama for talking with the president of Iran, but refusing to negotiate with Congress over spending. The dictator of North Korea, going to call him next month, going to call him next, and we'll sit down with them and so forth. The fact of the matter is, did not this moderate say that they're not changing policy with respect to their production of nuclear weapons? Didn't he say that? Well, so what are they talking about on the phone? I have no idea. I don't know what the progress they're talking about. It amazes me. The irony is unbelievable. The president gets up there and he talks in a very nice prose about this, and is the first time we're having this discussion. This is the regime that hangs gay people, and he's talking about Iran. This is a regime that kills American soldiers. This is a regime that, as I speak, that's torturing freedom fighters in that country. Meanwhile, he talks about Republicans as if they're holding hostages. One of his flunkies was on your show yesterday talking about them having bombs attached to their chest, and I'm not going to talk to them. How the Iranians sure will talk to them. This is a first. Boehner had a no way I'm going to talk to them. Does he even understand how silly he looks? And he was talking about Obama. Some more of the back and forth between Tapper and Levin follows. Tapper said, "That was one of the things I noticed is that the Republicans have been very critical of the fact that President Obama putting outstretched hands to talk with dictators, whether it's Bashar al-Assad or now Rouhani, Rouhani." Whereas their very strong criticism, he's not going doing enough to negotiate with Congress. His position on the government shutdown is Congress cannot achieve unto itself if he doesn't have enough votes in the Senate to get rid of Obamacare, and therefore it's not fair nor democratic to try to force defunding of Obamacare through by threatening a government shutdown or by threatening not to raise the debt ceiling. Why is he wrong? And Levin said, oh, I see. So the only Congress that was democratic was the one that passed Obamacare, so we're stuck with it forever. And I understand that when he was a senator and he voted against increasing debt ceiling, that was not going to throw the economy into hell. No, no, no. Now, as president of the United States, he's talking about a government shutdown. We have to pay our bills. Does he even understand how this works? You're paying existing interest, principal, and pensions, existing, not prospective. We take in $200 billion a year. That covers all that and more. He doesn't want to negotiate because he doesn't want to talk about that. That's perfectly fine. Now, this is Levin talking. He goes on to say, now we've shut down federal government 17 times in 19 years. I've got it right here. It's NBC, so it must be true. From 1976 to 95, people got their checks. The military didn't go home. The border was as secure as it was then as it is now. So all these scare tactics mean nothing. And I just want to inform some of the folks here at CNN that Tea Party is not like the reptile house at the zoo, this tiny group of people. It is people who are concerned about $17 trillion in debt, $90 trillion in unfunded liabilities. This president has added enormously to this. So it's kind of ironic that he's talking about paying our bills and the debt and so forth when he's accumulated so much of it. And I just absolutely love what Levin is saying here. And Tapper says, without question, there's a lot of people who are concerned about the debts and the Tea Party caucus and the Tea Party patriots, the groups around the country. And Levin says, so what's he going to do about it? And Tapper says, here's my question. Why is President Obama the only one responsible for the deficit if Congress is not able, both the House and the Senate, to pass a budget that starts to bring the United States within its means? And Levin says, That's an excellent point, and you're exactly right, which is the reason I wrote this book. But he talked today about the budget. The person who is stopping the passage of an annual budget is Harry Reid. Harry Reid's working with the White House. The House, as I understand it, keeps passing budgets, sending them to the Senate, and they die. And they die because Harry Reid lets them just sit on his desk. He won't look at them. So I don't know what he's talking about here. We need to have a budget every year. Okay, tell your friend Harry to get a budget. You do control of the Senate. You do control of the White House. There are still some Democrats left in the House. There are still some in the some French Republicans left in the House who will go along with you. He continued sounding off about the current spending battle. He said, and I just want to inform some of the folks here there at CNN, the Tea Party is not like a reptile house at the zoo, like I read just before. He also playfully explained what a French Republican is. He said a French Republican is a Republican who beats up on the conservatives and is constantly praising the Democrats and contributing to the massive spending in this country while they go home and pretend otherwise. Kind of sounds like John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and I think Ted King. We now have a show every day of the week on the new, with the new show starting on that started on September 5th. So our lineup now is Sunday nights we have Soldier of Patriotism with Michael B. Smith with his own show now, and also on Sundays starting from at 6 p.m. after Soldier of Patriotism is one of our new shows where Uncle Bing Fisher and his show American by Design at 6 p.m. Eastern. So now we have two shows on Sunday, making it 4 hours instead of two with our two main men, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. On Monday is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Tuesday nights we have Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Wednesday is Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. On Thursdays will be another show that is fairly new now called the Second Amendment Forum with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. Give a listen. And on Fridays is our very own Chris Manti with the Chris Manti Show, mixing the Word of God with the way we should be doing things here in America. And, of course, yours truly on Saturdays. Until next week, my friends, God bless you all and work to save our great republic, what's left of it. Stay safe and have a good day.
Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't. Thank you. tell you right now, this country ain't supposed to be like that. No, that ain't my America. That ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam all on the slam, but I ain't letting you. Yeah, America's hell, you know I still need red, white, and blue. That ain't us, and that ain't mine. That ain't my America.
God bless you all.